rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. God is good. Not just some of the time, but God is good all the time. And all the time, God. We're happy to be alive today. God has given us another one, you all. And so far, at this point, you ought to give praise to him with the fruits of your lips. Thanking God for blessing you to wake up to see another day. Many lay down last night. Many in the hospitals, nursing homes, and on their sick bed. Some moved on from this life to the other. When you have breath in your body, blood warm, flowing in the veins of your body, you'll have an opportunity to obey God before it's everlasting and eternally too late. If you visit with us and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you are very honored and you're the distinguished guest of our call. And we thank you so very much for joining us on this morning to be with us and to hear from the Word of God. So therefore, we thank you so very much for being on the call. Now, in the Churches of Christ, we believe that the Bible is right and every word of the Bible is right. You want to be saved, now you have to do what it says. That's all it is to it. And there's so many people who want to do it their way. If you get serious about saving your soul, you have to put your way aside. Your own personal will and desires and what you believe and what you think and what you thought was right. Go back and believe what's written in the scriptures for is right over you. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even divided asunder of the soul and spirit. Joints and marrow in the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God has settled the matter, as the psalmist said in Psalm 119:89. It says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Jesus, when he came to the earth after he died, was buried and rose again, gave a command that every man, woman, boy, girl, before they die, should hear and obey and believe. He should go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Anybody on this call, have not been baptized, your soul will be lost when you die, when you breathe your last breath. Because you did not believe the written word of God. If you believe that you'd be baptized immediately. I just know that people who don't believe in the Bible never be baptized. They'll put it off and make up excuses. Those who believe in the word of God will believe that Jesus hung on that cross for every sin with their eyes. And they are running their bodies to be buried with him in baptism as commanded through the scripture. And you'll know that the Lord will add you to the only church in the Bible. And that is the Church of Christ. That's what you must hear. You must believe that with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Make a decision in your mind. It's time to make a change. Give your life to God. Amen. And upon repenting, confessing him to be the Son of God before men, as he's commanded us in the scripture. Then be buried with him in baptism, close your breath, and go under the water. First breath after you come out of the water be the breath of the child of God. If you haven't done that, you're not a child of God. You are lost in your sin. You will die in your sin. You don't do something about it before you turn into a man. You can't say nobody told you now because I just did. You may want to hang up now that you know. If that's the case, you're just guilty, that's all. You're just guilty. You're running from the truth. And you're going to be the very person who died in your sin. Ain't nobody going to be standing there with you to protect you. Nobody going to be standing there to say you were right. And you're going to be there all alone to face the judge. That's why I'm telling you this in the front of the sermon. I'm going to give you at the end what you must do to be saved. Now, those who are visiting with us from other congregations, you are very honored guests, and we thank you for being with us. I always take the time at the front of my sermon to preach the gospel. And to preach the gospel, you got to tell people that Jesus suffered for them on the cross, and then tell them what to do to be saved. That's how you preach the gospel. And I make sure my audience listen to it at the beginning, somewhere in the middle. I'll probably say it two or three times at the end, just to take all excuse away from it, so you ain't got no excuse on this. Yeah, I do that. And then to the member of the church, you done left the truth. God viewed you as one who, a pig who was washed up, and then he went back and rolled around in the stinking mud. He viewed you as one who a dog that vomited and ate his own vomit. Don't that make you sick to your stomach? It should. It makes God sick when you know the truth and then you leave it. Stop worshiping. You haven't been to the building since way before the COVID. You wouldn't come to worship. Now you're on the phone call. Have you repented yet? Have you made your confession yet? Or are you just going to keep doing it your way? At some point, you got to confess your fault, as the Bible teaches. Christians have to confess when they make a mistake. Confess your sin, and then God will receive you back in. He's not going to receive you back until you admit you're wrong. That's what confession is. You admit you sin against God. When you sin against God, it's required that you repent and confess. The Bible says, 1 John 5 and the following verse, if you confess your sin, Jesus said, I'm just to forgive you. James chapter 5 said, confess your fault one to another. Amen. You're supposed to make a confession. Don't you know that? You ain't said, you said, what is a confession, Brother Brooks? Admitting before us and saying, asking us to pray for you. He said, I have sinned. I want to come home. We don't care what you did or sin. We know you can do all kinds of sin. It's not our business what you're doing. What it is, our business is to tell you that you got to repent. So just because you've been getting on this call don't mean you're saved. If you haven't repented, you're not worshiping, you haven't been giving right, yeah, I'm talking to all those folks. Don't take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. Come and go as you want. Live like you want to live. Yeah, you call yourself a member of the Church of Christ, you in the one church, but you ain't living right. You're not saved. You can't be saved unless you do it the way God does. So you need to confess your fault. So I talk to the non-members, those who are not members. You need to be baptized. And those who are members, don't neglect your confession. Now, in Acts chapter 6, where we are this morning, actually a good study. It's interesting to me how often you can read the Bible and just learn something different every time you read it. That's something I'm very thankful. This morning, Stephen, full of faith and power. Stephen. Let's go back to Acts chapter 6 and verse 1. Turn your Bibles there in Acts 6 and verse 1. The Bible said, in those days, when the number of disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. We talked about that last week. Because their widows were neglecting daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not a reason that we should leave the word of God and serve table. In verse 3 said, wherefore, brethren, look out among you, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whereby we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen. This is that man I'm going to talk about in the next couple of sermons. Stephen, a man full of faith. Notice he's full of faith. There ain't nothing left. And when you're full of his glass and full, can't put nothing in. He's full of faith. He's a full believer in what God has said. Are you? And the Holy Ghost. And he had the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And Philip, Procurus, and Nicanor, and Timon, Parmenius, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. Now here's where we talk about this man, Stephen, a man full of faith and power. Now from here to chapter 7, we will learn of this man, Stephen, and of the sermon he preached before the Sanhedrin that brought death to him. They don't kill him. Not only was he full of faith, but of the Holy Spirit, he's full of that, and of power. We need men today speaking for Jesus who are full of faith, not halfway believers. That's what you see a lot of times when you hear men, they won't preach about the Church of Christ being one church, and they only preach certain things. They're not full of faith. When you're full of faith, you're full of belief. You believe everything in the Bible. You don't have no questions about the Bible, about whether there's one church or two churches or three or any church would do it. I don't know. It's in the hands of God, and God can do it. Yes, he can. But when you're full of faith, the Bible says faith coming by hearing, Romans 10:17, and hearing by the word of God. When one is full of faith, then they believe the word of God. And that's what we need. And men that who are full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit, meaning being guided by the Holy Spirit, to be full of faith, they have total confidence in your belief. The kind of man stands up personally, man or woman who stands up for what he or she believes, even if it's causing them to lose their life, as we will see with this man, Stephen. To be full of the Holy Spirit for us is to have the Holy Spirit by obeying God. Then the Holy Spirit is not something that comes and you control you, but you live according to the scripture which is given to us by the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit is eternal life. Now, if you don't obey the Holy Spirit, you're not going to get eternal life. So how do you obey the Holy Spirit? Temporarily, I told you, the Bible is the Holy Spirit gives us. The Holy Spirit gave us the Bible. When you read the Bible, you obey the Holy Spirit. So that's why if you haven't obeyed the gospel, you haven't obeyed the Spirit. Maybe someone this morning on this call. You need to act by faith. You got to question your faith. What do you believe? Where did it come from? Did it come from your mama? Are you holding on some stuff that you were given by somebody who ain't was guided by the Holy Spirit? The faith coming by hearing the Word of God. You may have to come this morning, and you're on the call this morning. You thought you had 100% belief, but yet you don't believe in certain things the Bible says. Well, I believe, here's a good one. People always say, well, I believe in Jesus. I just can't see how there's only one church. Well, then you don't believe in Jesus. You say, what? You don't believe in Jesus? Because the same book that tells you about Jesus tells you there's one church. How are you going to take one part of it and say you believe, and the other part of it say you don't believe? That's like taking a math book saying 1 + 1 = 2. I believe that. But I don't believe 2 + 2 = 4. Same book. You're an unbeliever who you are. You are an unbeliever. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, watch this now. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he will do the will of my Father. Many will say unto me that day, Lord, do we not prophesy in your name? Sound like believers, don't they? Cast out men, work devils in your name, and done many wonderful work. Sound like a believer. Listen to what Jesus said at the end of verse 23. Jesus said, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. You were a worker of iniquity. Anyway, you did what you wanted to do. You didn't believe in what I said. And that's what some people problem is today. Maybe you're on this call. You've been on this call. I said this a few times. So I know that's true. We got 600-800 people listening to me on Sunday morning. I never had that many people on a Sunday morning at Hollow Heights, I don't think. Maybe you had 600-800. But you realize you got that many people calling in. Some of them are calling in here. You're listening to me. You're still not a member of the Church of Christ. You still have not been baptized. You are an unbeliever. You don't believe in what I'm preaching. I do not see how anybody can sit under my particular preaching and say they're a believer and they're not a member of the Lord's Church yet. They have not been baptized yet. Y'all be running to the building this morning. At some point, you got to decide, are you a believer or an unbeliever? If you're a believer, then you believe everything because you're full of faith. Why don't you just obey God? Why don't you stop making up excuses? Obey God so your soul can be saved. James 1:25, the Bible says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word. Watch this now, which is able to save your soul. That's what this is about, saving soul. And they said, brother, but that's pretty tough what you said. Well, I won't take it back. I won't do that to you. See, you seek to please me and you're not the servant of Christ. My job is to move on you. My job is, I'm under charge. I have to tell you these things, just like Stephen had to tell you, and you need to hear it. You probably had enough people tickling your ear, telling you what you want to hear. Not Brother Brooks. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And I'm not going to apologize. I'm not going to take it back, because if you obey and save your soul, I'm the greatest thing ever happened to you. If you don't say your soul, I'm the one who warned you. And God will give me some credit for that. Yes, he will. Let's go back to Acts 6. Acts 6, I'm going to talk like that most of the sermon anyway. There's a lot more of that coming. Because when people are full of faith, they're full of a belief system. Listen to verse 6 now. Whom they set before the apostles. When they had prayed, now, they laid hands on them. Now, this man, full of faith, was set before the apostles. And notice this. He received power from the laying on of the apostles' hands. That's real important to note. In Acts 8:19, Simon asked Peter, he said, give me this power. He saw through the laying on of the apostles' hands was given them. He said, give me this power, so I lay hands, I may receive. Acts 8:18. Now, here's what you need to know. There are no apostles living today. This was over 2,000 years ago. Apostle Peter and those guys could give, they could take what God gave them, which is the ability to perform miracles. And that, you just assume that, let's go back and give you a kind of analogy to understand what I'm saying. You think about an apostle sitting next to you, you still living, he's living, He could touch you and you would get what he got, which is power to do miracles. But when he died, you could not touch any, but you could not touch anyone and give it to them. Only the apostle could give it to you, but you couldn't give it to nobody else. Y'all got that? So three people sitting on the couch. One of them is an apostle. He touched the person next to him, and that person has the power. They have what he had, which is a form, power to perform miracles. Now that second person touches the third person, they don't get anything, because the only person who could give it to him would be the apostle. I think you see that. But that's the elementary representative. Now, with that being in mind, just understand what I'm saying. What I'm saying is there are no apostles living today. They all dead. And so all these people running around here talking about they're apostles, they have the power to perform miracles, they're lying. They can't perform no miracles. That's why you don't see no miracles. There ain't no men performing no miracles like what we don't see, what we see in the book of Acts, where people just healed and jumped up and started running. Eyes couldn't see it. All of a sudden, they could see. People who were on their sick bed and just jumped up. So you don't see that today. You see these fake people going in there faking as if they're getting people. The hospital is a fool. If people had this power today, they would be emptying these hospitals out. COVID wouldn't have a chance. But you know you don't believe that. You know what if you believe? Where did it come from? Where did it come from? So what are you saying? After the apostles died, no one had this power. So they all dead. This means everybody who they gave it to is dead. Philip is dead. Simon is dead. They didn't got it. They don't have it. They lied. Now, so if you understand that, then you don't expect miracles to be something that's going to cause you to believe. You know, like a miracle would be, for the purpose of a miracle, was to cause the unbeliever to believe. Why was that? Well, they didn't have the Bible like me. We read to believe. They had to see. Our faith coming by hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Hebrews 11 tells us that we walk by faith and not by sight. And Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You read the whole book of Acts, Hebrews 11, that chapter deals with faith. We don't have no faith because we saw Jesus. But our faith didn't come by seeing it. Our faith comes by reading about it. So everything you believe must come from the written word of God as a system of belief for you. So if you look at that, as I'm speaking this morning, you know that you don't have no power to form miracles. No one else do. And this man, Stephen, had that power because of the apostles. They gave it to him. Now, that's just something you need to know because the world teaches differently. We know we don't in churches of Christ. We don't listen to what man said. If the Bible said it, that's right. And that's it. If God said it, I believe it. Well, if God said it, it settles it whether you believe it or not. If God said it, it settles it. It's not about you believe it and that settles it. No, if God said it, that settles it whether you believe it or not. It's, the matter is already settled by God. He's already given us the written word. Now, since we have the word of God, in Acts 6:7, it says, and the word of God increased. Now, look at that. And the word of God increased. So the apostles gave, they prayed, laid hands on a man like Stephen. And Stephen, the word of God is increasing, which is improving, it's growing. The number of disciples multiplied, it's getting more and more of them. And Jerusalem greatly, and a great coming of priests, even them. Priests, and there were Judaism priests, preachers of the Jewish religion. They started to obey the truth. They becoming Christians. Yeah. And so when we increase the preaching of the word, understand what we're doing at from a nationwide standpoint as a congregation. One of the reasons why this is so important, what we're doing with the nationwide gospel meeting, because we are increasing the preaching of the word. And we're bringing on hundreds of sound preachers all across this nation. You ought to feel good about being a member of Highland Heights. We stumbled over this opportunity. I've been doing gospel meetings and conference calls for years, but once we turn this into a nationwide gospel meeting, we have started to increase the preaching of the word in a dramatic way, in a very increased and powerful way. I'd rather say it like that. So how the word of God, you all, we understand, must increase in order for disciples to multiply. In other words, for you to get more, for us to get more Christians, we must preach the word as often as we can and get as much. That's why we're doing this Monday through Friday. And then on Sunday, you hear the preached word. We're all doing the weekly. I would just pause and say to a member of the church who loved to preach the word, I said, some of them, I said, you been on the call? Well, no, you know, I ain't had time, and come up with all these I don't have time stuff. You can make time 30 minutes if you really want to. You do everything else you want to. It's just a matter of priority. You know, we got some people, they set their alarm clock so they don't miss the 9 o'clock 30-minute call from the Word of God. When people love the Word of God, they want to love to preach. They want to love to hear a preach. How many of y'all from out of high school been getting on the call? I know some of you are getting on the call, but not everybody. Monday through Friday, you're on there on Sunday morning so you can take your communion. Is that why you come on Sunday morning and listen to it and then take it? So the Word of God should be increasing in your life. The more you hear the Word of God, the easier it is for you to live the Christian life. It's already tough enough to live a Christian life fighting against sin. You put in all that stuff from your radio, you listen to it from the home to the job. You don't even get on the call for 30 minutes to hear the Word of God being preached and proclaimed. Why, what are we doing? We're increasing. We're trying to increase the borders of the kingdom. We're trying to increase multiply the discipleship. That's what we're talking about here. People got to be saved. So, well, how can we help this COVID? How can we help the world? Preach the gospel to the world. You can't change the people. The gospel can, though. You may be against it. Think about the worst person you can think of in the world. The gospel can change that man. The gospel can change the people. That's what's got to be. It's the Word of God got to be preached in order for people to get. This world ain't going to get no better without the preaching of the Word. That's how we help the church. That's how we help the world, is we come up with ways to preach more. We don't come up with ways to stop preaching. Amen. That's why I'm so thankful to have the leadership that supports my efforts as I'm standing before God and standing before men and putting on these calls and doing everything I can to get the Word of God preached. I would just wonder why our members, and I'm only talking to those who are supporting it. You let it go through one ear and out the other. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to those who are not supporting it. I'm talking to those of you who could be supporting it. I'm talking to you. That's who I'm talking to. What are you doing? What are you thinking? Well, you probably listen to some program that helps you make more money. It'll take 30 minutes, 2 hours to listen to that. Somebody said one time, it was kind of funny, and they said, you know, the Titanic, you watch that movie. You watch, that's a three-hour movie. And you watched it from the beginning knowing that you knew that ship was going to sink. You didn't have to watch that to see that. And you won't get on the call for 30 minutes. What that tell you? What that tell you about your mindset? I'll tell you what to tell you. You want me to tell you? That the Word of God is not a priority in your life. And when the Word of God is not a priority, you're not going to grow spiritually. Now, those of us who can share and should share, we should share the Word of God. You can do it by sending flyers. You can do it by sending emails. You can use your text messages. And I know some Brother Kirby is Anthony Kirby, I'll go ahead and call his name because most of y'all probably do like me, get a text from me every day, just sending us some encouragement. That's sharing the Word of God. He just told me about his neighbor. He just, neighbor was kind of mean to him when he first met him, but he kept talking nice to him, being nice to us, sending encouragement every day. And maybe his neighbor is on the call. He needs to hear. And he's been listening to our call, and we appreciate him being on. But it's because of the way the caravan lived his life. And, you know, people don't know you when it's there. Sometimes you move around people, you move, and you got to be careful who you trust. And you know, I understand things go and you got new neighbors, things can happen. But when you have a Christian neighbor, you're going to encourage them through the living of your life. You don't have to put a sign on your back and say, look at me, I'm a Christian. You can do it by the way you treat people, by the way you handle them, by the way you respond to people. And, you know, we're thankful that he sent him a flyer and he's been listening to our program. If they're on the call, we want to welcome them, him and his wife and those who are listening. Not only them, others could be on the call today. You're listening because somebody in the Church of Christ invited you to hear our program. And that's commendable to that person who is a Christian. That's what all of us should do. Well, here's what this is about. It's not about anything but saving people's souls. And when we love people, we love the souls of men, we'll do whatever we can to get this out. You've got all kinds of ways of getting the Word of God out today. I want to ask y'all, how many of y'all are using your text message for something other than communicating with your friends? Somebody probably texting right now while I'm preaching. Remember, I always talk about that hell phone, that cell phone. You know, people can just If you own a unit, you just got busted. You're sitting there texting other people and using your phone to talk about something other than what I'm talking about. Now, what is that all about? Are you thinking about what you're doing? So you can take that same cell phone and send a flyer to somebody. Have you done that? You can take that same email and send an email to somebody, and you can reach hundreds of people through email. Hundreds. Your Facebook page. Have you pasted our flyer? You know, the sad thing for me, I see members of the Church of Christ pasting stuff about God, and then the next thing they paste is a curse word. What are you doing? The next thing you see them pasting is them partying you bring shame on the church. You go look at my Facebook page. What you going to see on? You going to see Brother Brooks cussing? You going to see Brother Brooks on there fighting with people? No, not going to see none of that. No, what you going to see on mine? A billboard. I'm going to put the sermons on there. I'm going to put the flyers on there. I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not going to talk back to people. I'm not going to be cussing. I'm not going to be drinking and partying on the Facebook page. Some of you Christians out there are doing just that, bringing shame on you're not going to multiply the brotherhood. People are going to look at you and call you a hypocrite. And I know some of you. I see your post. You never see me respond to your post, though. You want to know why? I'm responding right now. And some of you need to close your Facebook page and start a new one with a Christian page according to what God say, and stop posting all them curse words and stuff like that right behind our flyer. You're making us look bad. That's what you're doing. You're making shame. You're bringing shame on the Church of Christ. It's shame on you. Use your Facebook page for a positive response. Say some things on there that's going to help people. Enough people out there dying in their sins. They don't need to see a Christian who calls himself a Christian member of the Church of Christ doing those kind of things. And you say, Brother Brooks, you're being kind of hard. Well, I need to be. Here I am preaching against the stuff, and you doing it. You say, well, nobody perfect. I ain't saying nothing about living perfect. You don't have to tell the whole world what you're doing. It's amazing to me. Well, people just tell people what they're doing on Facebook. What are you saying, bro? I'm talking about preaching the word of God have to increase in order for people to have, for us to have more disciples. And that's the way we help the people. It multiplying means duplication. Every member of the church understand you will give an account for the people that you hurt. You'll give an account for the people that blood on your shoulders. We got enough to deal with on the day of judgment. That's what words mean. If I got the blood of people on my shoulder that I haven't told, or I haven't asked for forgiveness or try to get it right with them, that blood going to be on our shoulders. Have you done that? Have you done that? We are discipling. We are trying to multiply. You take 1 + 1 = 2. That means we got two more people. Take 2 + 2, two more people spread the word of God. Now we got 2 + 2, that's 4. You take 4 + 4, that's 8. If you can start duplicating, how many people have you duplicated from the day you got baptized? From the day you got baptized, should be other people that you pass this on to. You passing on this truth to them so they can multiply. And when they get baptized, they're going to multiply. They're going to multiply. I take great pride in baptizing thousands upon thousands of people in my ministry. You say, well, that's boasting on. I'm just thankful to God. I don't know who they are, but I'm not worried about the numbers, but I'm just thankful that I can help. Some of you on the call have obeyed the gospel as a result of my preaching, and you have passed it on. Thank God for you. You have multiplied. You have multiplied, and that's a great thing. And we have the congregation highlight, if we're going to grow, we got to do this together, of the same mind and the same judgment. Our women must be disciples, our sisters. We need to disciple. Our children need to be disciples. Our brothers need to be disciples. Our youth. Our youth are disciples. They're those who are youth can pass on to youth. And all of our ministries in the church, we're discipling. What we're doing is when we help people with our outreach program, with our relief program, with edification, all that is the purpose of service. So all the ministry leaders understand the reason why we give people help, the reason why we feed people, the reason why we do these things is we have one end goal, is to save that person's life. So, and have that person to please listen to our sermons. That's what we want to do. And so if you're visiting on the call, everything I'm saying, I'm not saying it to be mean. I'm saying this to be very straightforward and very blunt about what I'm saying, because your soul is at stake. Your soul is at stake. I just got a check this morning. A preacher in Midland, Texas, just passed. He just died from COVID. The preachers are not exempt from death. He didn't got another text. Just came another last night, another preacher. Him and his wife both just got it. Man, folks are getting sick. People are dying, but they're dying for more than COVID. They're dying for a whole lot of different things. So here we are. What are the purpose of us preaching the Word of God? Why do the Word of God need to increase? Why do all of us need to teach? Why, how can all of us can't work in the kitchen. All of us can't do everything with the church. All of us can't cut the grass or whatever. But every one of us can share the Word of God. Every one of us can share the Word of God. What are you using your social media platforms for? People got the Instagram and the Facebook and all kind of apps that you can just send information. They got all kind of stuff like Zooms and booms, all kind of stuff out there. I don't know what else is out there. I don't use a lot of that stuff, but I do use the Facebook for the purpose of building. But I encourage you to go to my Facebook and look at it and see what you see. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, you say, well, Brother Bruce, I spent a lot of time on that, didn't I? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Because there are men on this call who can preach, and they're not. There are men on this call who can be elders, and they are not elders yet. There are men on this call who could be preachers, and they're not. And I wonder why. When the world needs the Word of God, and you could be preaching. So I like how I like. But you have a talent to preach. You have a talent. You have the ability and the qualification to be an elder, and you are allowing something that's not God, from God, to hinder you. What are you hindering when the people will not take on the role of the Word of God being increased? You are hindering the saving of souls and your own. The question for all of us individually is this. Am I involved in Mother Klein? Am I involved in the preaching of the Word being increased? Or am I one of those who come to God to get what I can get from Him? And after I get what I want, I'm not going to help anyone else. Look, I'm not like that. I'm shy. I just don't like. You don't have to say nothing. Nobody will send a flower in your text message. You don't have to say nothing. You don't say nothing. All them excuses people make about how shy you are. You just, I just don't know the Bible. Well, just put them on the call. I know enough of the Bible to help them. All these preachers we got coming on, you ain't got to teach nothing. Just put people, let them listen. If they're seeking the truth, y'all, they don't obey it. Yeah, they obey it. So what motivates the mindset I'm talking about? Well, it's going to be the motivation comes from the preaching of the cross. See, when you love God, it will be because He first loved you. And when you love God, you'll love His Son. And when you love His Son, it is because you realize that Son went to the cross and died in your place. But He didn't just die in your place. He took a beating for you. He was slapped for you. They spit on Him for you. They stuck a crown of thorns on His head for you. They put the tree of the cross on His back for you. And He tried to make it to Calvary for you. He couldn't. But they had somebody, Simon Serene, to help him. And He got to Calvary. And that's where they laid Him on the tree for you. They drove the nails in His hands for you. And He hung between the two guilty thieves for you. And you were the guilty one in the middle, but He was the innocent one in the middle of those two. for you. And he hung there on that cross 6 hours in the most excruciating pain a man can endure, because crucifixion alone, they say, is the most excruciating and humiliating and horrible death a man could die. You would prefer to have a lethal injection than the execution by crucifixion. So why did he go through all that pain? Because he loved you. And when you get that part right, then you do everything you can to show your love back in return. That's the only thing that will cause you to develop this mindset I'm talking about. Some of you got political mindsets because all you listen to is political TV. You listen to no word of God, but you listen to MSNBC or whatever that is, CNN or Fox News or whatever those TV shows are, and you'll be influenced some political party when you need to shut that stuff off and start to get influenced by your Bible, and you'll love everybody. You have no issue with people in the world. You'll love the people because they have a soul. And you'll know that Jesus died for those same people that you hate now. Yeah, some of you hate people. Some of you hate them. I just don't hear people. I can tell by the way you talk about them. You hate them. Hey, he just did that. Many of you hate Trump. You better be careful. You hate him. You ain't got the way you hate the man. That's all you talk about. Be careful now. Show brother. Yeah, I told you. I said it to you. Yeah, I keep saying it. And some people hate him, but buy him because you didn't like him. Now you hate him. Man, you can't hate nobody and go to heaven. You can't hate people. No matter what they believe or what they stand for, we can't hate them. We have to love the soul. We don't hate people because of the color of their skin or what they stand for in this world. Jeffrey Dahmer was, y'all heard about Jeffrey Dahmer. He killed all them boys. But yet somebody taught him the gospel, I heard. He obeyed it in prison. Yeah. And if Jesus, remember the people who killed Jesus, 3,000 of them. I don't know what you could do worse than killing Jesus. And they asked Peter in Acts 2:36-37, meaning, brother, what shall we do? Peter said, you repent and be baptized. Man, no matter how bad a person has been, you can repent and be baptized. You know Trump can still repent and be baptized, be saved just like me and you. But no, you're going to hate him. You wouldn't even want him to hear the truth. You wouldn't want him to hear the truth because you're so politically influenced. There's no party there that we should line up with that we can't. We understand we are Christians. We line up with Jesus. And his love for the world, he loved the worst of people in the world. That's why the word of God must be increased. Because we can save people. This happens today. Many people, beliefs are traditional and not based on no Bible. And when you show them what the Bible says, they read it to these people. That's what happened here. When Stephen started speaking, the Bible says here in Acts 6:8. Notice this. Acts 6:8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, that's my title right there, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Look at this. The preaching of the cross had motivated him. See, Stephen is going to go back and tell them, y'all did this. He's going to tell them in detail in Acts chapter 7, y'all killed that Jesus with wicked hands. He's going to call them all kinds of names. He's going to preach hard to them in Acts 7. Go over there and read it. You get the idea of what I'm going to be talking about. He preached straight forward. Some of us are worried about hurting people's feelings. You're going to see Stephen didn't worry about hurting people's feelings. He was telling them what they done wrong, what they did wrong with killing Jesus. So here he is. Man full of faith. He had no doubt in his belief and power. He had the ability to perform miracles. He did great wonders and miracles among the people. So Stephen was motivated by what they had done, as we should be motivated when we know that they killed our Lord like they did. And when we know the Lord did it for us, then we're willing to spread that to other people. Here it is. Stephen, after the apostle laid hands on him, start to work miracles in the name of Jesus. The purpose of miracle was to confirm the word to those who did not know the word, unbelievers. And then verse 9, then there arose a certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and one of them of the Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. Now Jews from various groups were in Jerusalem, were displeased with what this man, Stephen, man full of faith and power, was preaching. This would be like Brother Brooks preaching, man. Like, if there were Baptist preachers, Methodist preachers, and Catholic preachers on the call today, they would not like what I'd be saying. Pentecostal preachers are preaching that tongue speaking and miracle. They'd be listening to me talking about one church being the church of Christ, how we should have no denomination, no division among us, 1 Corinthians 1:10, how I say baptism is for the remission of sins, and that people can't be saved by praying a sinner's prayer, accepting Jesus as the personal Savior. And they wouldn't like, well, these guys don't come listen to me. You know that, right? They're not going to listen to me. They're not going to join their call. But if they were to listen, if they were to listen to me, they would be wanting to dispute with me. See, these people came to synagogue. Certain of the synagogue, notice what they're disputing with Stephen. Watch this man, this Stephen, this man of full of faith and power and Holy Spirit. Notice this. And they were not able. Notice what the Bible teaches. They were not able to resist wisdom, the wisdom and the spirit. That's him. That's his spirit by which he spake. If one speaks where the Bible speaks, people will not be able to resist the wisdom that comes from above. This, when you speak, when I say what God said, that's the wisdom that's from above. When the wisdom that's from above is spoken by men who believe what they are preaching, then that wisdom is powerful. You hear what I'm saying? That wisdom, which is from above, is powerful. And when a person is full of faith, then they believe that which is from above. They believe that what the Bible says is the greatest wisdom of all. That's why the Bible says wisdom is the principal things, but in all thy getting, get a understanding. So when you look at wisdom, you've got to understand that when one is teaching you from the Word of God, that's not that man's own wisdom. That's wisdom that's from above. That's wisdom from God. So when you think in terms of believing the word of God, then what you're believing is what God has said through his word. It's called the excellency of knowledge. That's what it's called. It's called the excellency of knowledge. What is the excellency of knowledge, brother? The word of God. The most excellent information you can get will come from the Bible. Now, in James chapter 3 and verse 13, notice it, who is a wise man and endured with nature? James 3:13. And endured with knowledge among you, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. This is what I'm talking about, people who are posting this stuff on your Facebook. I hope I tagged you real good this morning. The word is in the strife, there is confusion in every evil word. But wisdom that is from above, notice this now, is first pure, is peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And it was a Hebrew writer said, without peace and holiness, no man shall see the face of God. Did y'all know that? So what am I talking about now? How do you display this wisdom I'm talking about? When you share the word of God, it cannot be disputed successfully. cannot be disputed successfully. Not this wisdom. So he said, they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Let's talk about that just a little bit. Romans chapter 8, and go there real quick with me. And I'm not going to be very much longer than Romans 8, here 14 through 16. Some of you, boy, I've been working on them Facebook thing. They should probably show up for me to get down this morning. I'm going to take my time just because you're struggling. Verse 14, or Acts 8, or Romans 8. For as many as led by the Spirit of God, notice that's big S, they are the sons of God. Now watch verse 15. For ye have not received the Spirit, that's your spirit, of bondage again to fear. But you have received the Spirit, that's God, of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now verse 16. Watch this. The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit. Now draw big S on your paper, and draw an arrow to the little S. So, and when you draw around the big S, put a head around it, call it God. And put an arrow, a circle around the little S, and call that you. And when the word of God comes from you into your head, then that's the Spirit of God giving your spirit information. Now, when your spirit and your mind, you agree with what God said in the Bible, then your spirit is bearing witness with God's spirit. Now, your little S is bearing witness with the big S. In other words, you witness that what he's saying is true. Now, when you witness, then you believe it. That develops your faith. Now, when you believe what the Word of God says, your spirit will bear witness with God's spirit, and one day you'll be able to call him Father. See, when you don't agree with God, when you don't agree with the Word, the Bible, your spirit is not bearing witness with God. So you will never become a child of God. That's why you're lost. That's why you're going to be lost, because your spirit is not connecting with the Spirit of God. And did I make that something plain or not? Yes, I did. You draw a little circle around the big S, and that's a head. The little circle around the little S, that's your head. The big S is God. He giving you information through when you read the Bible. All scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, is given by the inspiration of God. Now, the word inspiration means God breathed. It's like God is breathing in your face when he's talking to you when you read the scripture. When you read the Bible, it's God breathing into you the information. Now, your mind has the ability to believe it or not believe it. You have a choice. God will not make you believe him. When you believe what you read, then you don't question what you read. When you believe what you read, you do what you believe. Just like if you believe a stop sign means stop, when you read it, your mind says stop. If you believe it, you stop. If you don't believe it, you keep going, and then you get a ticket. And that's what's going to happen to people under their judgment. You read it, you didn't believe it, you keep going, you're going to get a ticket. In other words, you're going to lose something. I'm trying to make it simple enough where a child could understand it. That's all I'm doing. See, our faith is based on the written word of God and our personal system of belief cannot be shaken if we believe. No one I can't successfully shake my faith. I don't say that to pat myself, but I believe so much in the Bible. The right first thing I know, it applies to me. You know, I understand that I can be lost first. I know that. I'm not crazy. The first brother I'm trying to save is not you and me. And I know I'm okay there because the Bible says, save yourself. An untoward generation. If a person believes the Bible, they got to try to save themselves first. If you're not interested in saving yourself, you certainly ain't going to be interested in saving me. Don't you know I know that? You should know that. But if one faith is based on the word of God, somebody can call me right now and say, well, I don't believe you. Say, you're just going to shake me up. No, sir. But some of you in the church, you'll be shook up. You know, my mama said that she believed that it don't matter what it is, I'm just disturbed, I'm confused. No, you're not. You're starting to believe your mama. When you believe what the Bible says, you say, mama, it doesn't matter what you believe. It's still what the Bible says. That's what I believe, and you can't influence how I believe, because I'm going to believe what the Bible says over my mama and my daddy and my husband and my loved one and the person you're shacking with and whoever it is that's trying to influence you not to believe the word of God. Oh, girl, you know, it's common law, and you ain't got to go and get married if the Bible don't say. The Bible says marriage is honorable unto God, and the bed on the fire. Somebody telling you don't have to be married, they don't know. That is something we must do, and you should go and get married. You don't hear people shacking in the Bible. To avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. That's what it said. Marriage. Jesus spoke of marriage. Marriage is biblical. You just want a shack. You just don't want, you see, a lot of people want a shack because they don't want the responsibility if something goes wrong. We don't have to split the goods if we go to the good school. Some people just want to live. Or some of these young folks need to remember when you got a man coming into your life, he ain't got a job and he ain't doing nothing but laying up there with you in your house. He need to be out working. Why would any young lady let some man lay up on him that don't even go to work? Why would you even let that man come into your house? He don't even work. Let him get a job. Get a job. Get your house. Get your own place. I'm talking to the young ladies. They don't need some old ladies. These days, you don't know. Got some cougars out there. Old ladies. Yeah, you laying up with a man. You're talking about when you're going to heaven. Laying up with some woman. Some man laying up with you. Taking advantage of your air conditioner, your gas, your food, your house, your mortgage. And you let him. Oh, he that sweet. He that smooth talker. That's a smooth talker right there. Yeah, well, you know, you tell him, yeah, you can talk to him, but you need to go to your job, don't you think? Yeah. You got the Mr. Mom today. Men won't stay home like they some woman. God said men work for the sweat of his brow. The women ought to stay home and take care of the children. That's what God said. We get this thing backwards. It's common today for men who want to just lay up and let the woman go to work. He really think he's some kind of man. Boy, I got me a woman, takes care of me. Boy, you weak me, what you are. Yeah, I said it. Brother Brooke told you, you need to get up and be a man. Get up and be a man. That's what you need to do. Be a real man. A real man take care of your family. Now, so what are we talking about? A belief. You have a belief that the Spirit of God is agreeing with you on all these different matters I just discussed. That's why I'm doing that. You don't believe anything you want to believe. This is happening in this case. Stephen is teaching from God's word. It disagrees with these Jewish belief system of faith. And some of you on the call, they kind of, you shook up because of some of the things I'm saying. You got a different belief on this. You might have a different political view. You think, well, I know that what he said, but I can't stand him anyway. Well, that's okay. That's you. That's you. You have that right. Just like you have the right to drive 95 or 100 on the freeway. But if you die, it was your fault. Because you had the right to do it. Now, this happening today, many people believe are not Bible believers. So when you show them in the Bible, here's what the Bible says, they read it to the Spirit like these people. Now, men and women who are full of faith and power, and their spirit is bearing witness with the Spirit of God, what they believe is what God said. Now, how about you this morning? What is your faith based on? Where is it coming from? What do you believe? Do you know? What do you believe? Where did that come from? You know, I just believe everybody's going to be saying, where did you get that from? It didn't come from the Bible. Matthew 7:13, the Bible says, enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many will go that way. That's what you would believe. And verse 13:14 says, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life. Nobody said, Jesus said this, as few there be to say. You believe many people will be saved, and the Bible says few. Where'd you get that from? You didn't get it from God. Jesus never said that. You said that. That's your belief. You believe everybody in every church going to heaven. God never said that. You believe in what the Constitution says. Any God will do. You can be a Muslim. You can be a Buddhist. You can be a Christian. You believe anybody. As long as they believe in a higher power, you believe that. That's not what the Bible says. So the Bible, you didn't get your belief from the Bible. If you believe anybody can be saved, you certainly don't believe in the Bible. You cannot believe in the Bible. If you believe in the Bible, you're a Muslim, you can't say you believe in the Bible. There are no Muslims in the Bible. Don't you know that? There are no Buddhists in the Bible. They're Christians. They were in the Bible. Christians. There are no Baptists in the Bible. There are no Catholics in the Bible. There are no Pentecostal people in the Bible. There was a day called Pentecost that no people called Pentecost. If that was just a common sense statement like that, if somebody was just listening to me, they would say, that make a whole lot of sense. There were no Pentecostal people. There was a Pentecostal day, the day of Pentecost. Where did that come from? It didn't come from the Bible. There was no Methodist in the Bible or anybody like that. They were in there. They're not in there. So now, you say, well, brother, what's your point? Well, what did you believe? My point, I asked you a question. You get the answer. Where did your belief come from? What do you believe? What spirit is leading you? I said, well, brother, the devil jumped on me. The devil don't make you do nothing. The devil ain't got that kind of power. You know, the devil gonna come to you at night and tell you nothing to do. You get to make your own decision. The devil can't possess nobody's body. You get a choice. The way the devil works is we have the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and pride of life. Now, before you can be presented some options for you to decide what you want to do with your body. Your lust of your eye, you like what you see. The lust of your flesh, you want what you see. The pride of life, you have too much pride to admit you're the one that's wrong and not the Bible. That's why you will be lost. The devil don't have no power. Well, the devil came to me last night and he jumped all over me and whooped me in my bed. That was probably that Jack Daniels he was drinking or whatever. No, devil. Devil don't jump on people in the middle of the night. You'd be amazed what kind of stuff you hear these days. It amazes me. Let me go on because I know this is a tough one for some of y'all. I'm really working on y'all this morning and myself too. They're working on all of us. The Word of God don't miss nobody. It hit everybody. It'll hit you going and coming. If it miss you coming, it'll hit you going. And verse 11, let's go back there. Let me get this closed so y'all don't get too shook up. Then they suborned me. We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. I'm in Acts 6:11 now. Suborn means instigate or instruct privately in an underhanded way to lie on Stephen. Now, keep in mind, these are so-called religious people who are upset. These are Jews who are upset that Stephen is teaching this truth to the point that they take these kinds of actions. Look at that. They privately getting together. And versus, they're saying, what are we going to do about it? We have heard him speak. They ain't heard him speak no blasphemies. This is what happens when your belief system is not based on the Bible. The very thing happened to Stephen, happens when people get upset when we point out the truth of the one church of God's narrow plan of salvation. What's wrong? It goes against their personal beliefs. See, some people, unfortunately, and I know many growing up in town, they believe system is not scripture, but they going to die. I had one cousin of mine said, all born a Baptist, you will die. Now, well, the first lie is that you wasn't born no Baptist. Second thing is you will die. That's true. But you didn't get that in the Bible. There wasn't nobody born no Baptist. That's the kind of stuff people say. Because when you tell them there's only one church, they're going to stand. It's against what they believe. This is what I've been believing all my life. This is what my mama believed. And I'm going to always believe. Well, you can do that. Because your mama believed on me, my mama was right. There is other thing. These people thought their belief of faith was based on scripture. You can be confused. You say, well, I thought I was right. Well, you don't have to think you're right, just read. If you read, you read it and it says it, then believe it. You're not going to be confused because God is not the author of confusion. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He's not the author of confusion, but of peace. The Word of God don't confuse people. It gives them simple truths. When you are confused, it's because your system of belief do not agree with God. That's why you say you're confused. I just don't see it. I can't see it. Well, faith don't come by seeing. You have to hear and believe. Yeah. So what Stephen is teaching disagrees with what they have been taught. Therefore, it is disturbing. And it's shaking them up. These people are shook up by what he's teaching. So they're going to take sinful ways to try to get rid of them. They call him a lie. You understand? Watch what happens when people don't like what you say. Verse 12, they stirred up the people. They're going to get some people to go with them. Elders, the scribes, all these so-called called religious people, and came up on him, called him, brought him to the council. Set up, notice what they're doing. This is sinful. They set up false witnesses. who said, this man ceased not to speak black. And I said, y'all make sure y'all said y'all heard that. They set that up, trying to get this man. Because he never said nothing blasphemous, but they set up some people that will go along with the wrong. You know, people go along with wrong. They'll go along knowing, because they don't believe it. They'll go along with knowing that it's wrong. They'll say they heard something they didn't hear. Yeah, that's what Brother Brooks said. No, you didn't hear that. I've had people come in, you said this and yourself, they're going to listen to that. What did I say? Now, what I said, you don't agree with. That's the problem. Now, we have heard him say that Jesus, this Jesus of Nazareth, shall destroy this place. Now, he didn't say that. He lied. We're going to hear some here in the next couple of sermons. And shall change the custom with Moses and Israel. He didn't say that. And all that sat in council looked steadfast. They looked straight at Stephen and saw his face as it been the face of an angel. There was something about his face. I'm not sure. I've read a commentary on it. I'm not going to try to. It don't say what that means. It just say as the face of an angel. Now we know the angel, when they saw, has a countenance that's holy, an angel. So obviously he had the countenance, and we'll see that his face as an angel, which means his countenance like that, sincere, guided by God. It's something I've never seen anything that I know of, but I can't just say what he saw. Can you? No, you can't. Yet they would not listen to him because in everything, even though his face like that, they still couldn't get over what he told them. Yeah, so as I close, if there's somebody who wants their faith or belief to be full, are you full of faith? I mean, you believe everything in the scripture? Then yeah, allow me to do your checklist for you, see how well you believe. Here it is. Do you believe? This is yes or no, you can write it down. Do you believe that the Bible is from God? 2 Timothy 3:16 says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Do you believe that one must believe and be baptized to be saved? Check number two, yes or no. Jesus said in Mark 16:15-16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Do you believe that? Yes or no. Do you believe, yes or no, that one must worship in spirit and in truth? John 4:23. The hour coming and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. And verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Do you believe that you can worship any kind of way? Or you're in a church where they got bands and they're playing dancing and they're clapping and they're beatboxing in Church Christ. I'm talking Church Christ too now. Beatboxing in the mic. You getting your praise on. You up jamming in the worship. You believe that that's okay? You believe that? When you have no example of it in the New Testament? Do you believe? Check yes or no now. Check yes or no on this. Do you believe that you must take the Lord's Supper on the first Sunday or every Sunday? In Acts 20 and verse 7, the Bible says, upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. What day of the week did they come together on, Brother Brooke? The first day of the week. What day is that? Let's count. Let's see. One Sunday, two Monday, three Tuesday, Wednesday, four, Thursday, five, six Saturday, Friday. Excuse me. Seven is Saturday, which means every Sunday is the day you should be taking the Lord's Supper. You say, wow, I didn't know that. Well, now you do. Do you believe it? So if you believe it, then you'll find the church that takes it every Sunday. And you will be in that church. Which church is that? Church of Christ. Only one that's doing it. I don't know of another church that takes Lord's Supper every Sunday. You know some take it every day. But every Sunday, every first day of the week. Or you in a belief system like your mama. You know, what they had was white glove Sunday. the first Sunday of every month, or it's communion time, live like you want to live during the week. Live like you want to live the rest of the month. You know, once you're saved, you're always saved, but don't you miss the first Sunday. That's the system belief I grew up in. That's the system of belief that most Baptists believe. They can live any kind of way. And when they die, everybody going to heaven. Every funeral is an ongoing celebration. It don't matter if you died drunk. It don't matter if you died what you were doing. It don't matter. Once you accept Jesus in your life as a personal Savior, when you were young, you were saved. That's called once saved, always saved. You believe that? When Jesus said, if you die in your sins, John 8:21, where I am, you cannot go. Do you believe that? You believe you can live any kind of way and just go to heaven? Well, then this one check yes or no by it. Because if you say yes, I believe that you can live any way, then you check that you are an unbeliever. Check your faith. Because you are not full of faith. You're not. You can't tell me you're full of faith and read John 8:24. Jesus said, I said, therefore, on the earth, you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Somebody said, yeah, see right there? It says, I do believe in Jesus, but you don't believe in baptism. You don't believe in the Church of Christ. There's one church. Same book. So check down the last one. Check yes or no on this one. Do you believe in one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one church? Yes or no? So Ephesians 4:4, I'm going to read it to you. There is one body. Now let me give you that one. Ephesians 1:22, turn back to your Bible. Ephesians 1:22. For he's the head of the body, the church. For all things under feet, he gave the head of everything, all things to the body, which is the church. Colossians 1:18 says the body is the church. So Ephesians 4, he said there is one body, meaning church. And number two, one spirit. You believe in one spirit or Holy Spirit? One hope, heaven. One Lord Jesus, one faith Bible, one baptism, the only one that's true. You can be baptized 10 times, wrong. But you're not saved until you're baptized according to what the Bible says. So here's how you know. So remember how I know my baptism. If you're not in the one church, then you didn't get the one church, Church Christ, then you didn't get the one baptism. Because that came from the one faith, the Bible, who gave it to us by the one Lord, which is Jesus, by the one Spirit, who gave it to us through the apostle. And they said that the same in the church, Acts 2:47, so if you're not in the Church of Christ, you didn't get the one baptism, you didn't obey the one Lord, you didn't obey the one Spirit, because you don't have the one faith. There it is. Yeah. So I gave you a checklist. Now, so here's what you can do today. If you believe this story, that God loved you and gave his only son, believe it with all of your heart. John 3:16. Believe that the Jesus, as I stated earlier, came to this world to die for you, to save your soul. He became the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. John chapter 1. And when you know that with all your heart, that he was brutally beat with that whip, that they slapped him and spit on him, and that you believe that he hung on that cross and suffering pain, shame for you, then that's the first thing, that's the first step of belief. Men say, believe it with all of your heart. Acts 15:7, hear the word of the gospel and believe. Number two, believe. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please him. He didn't come to God, must believe. Number three, you must repent. Luke 13:3. Number four, you must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Matthew 10:32. Acts 8:37, the man said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You call me this morning, we'll take you to the building. You have to ask you that question. You would have to say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Whether it's me or anybody else that asks you. And once you make that confession, we'll carry out the baptism, because that's what the Spirit told us to do. And our spirit, my spirit, bears witness with the Spirit of God. I believe that you're not saved until you are baptized, and I believe that you can be baptized a whole bunch of times wrong. There's only one truth. 1 Peter 3:21, Peter said, baptism does also now save us. 3:20:21, read both of those verses. Then after you're baptized, you must live faithful, that's for the members of the church. All those who I talked about today. Any of us in the church can go wrong. But every one of us can come back to the Lord if we want to. He gives us that. So long as we breathe, we can come back. So this morning, I want you to know that we're getting ready to sing an invitation song. Hit 5-star on your phone if you want to be baptized. Hit 5-star on your phone if you want to make a confession. or ask for prayers. Remember, make confession mean nothing about telling us anything other than saying, I have sinned, and I'm coming back to the Lord, church, and I want y'all to pray for me. And the whole church will pray for you, and the Lord would accept you back because you repented and confessed your fault. If you want to be baptized, you may have been on this call many, many times before. And remember this. All you're doing is playing Russian roulette. You're pulling the trigger every time you get on this call and get off without getting baptized. But one day, the bullet is going to come through the chamber, and then it's going to be too late. Don't put it off. Brother Robert, I think I've talked enough this morning. Won't you give us an invitation song, and we're going to ask Brother Williams to take the confession and our prayer request. We ask the audience to please know that we speak the truth in love. Now's your time to respond in love if you so choose. At this time, we'll sing the invitation.